Welcome to another edition of Real Prospector Radio. Today we feature Robert Palmer, the founder of the Robert Palmer family of companies, and most notably RP Funding. Also, on the real estate side of things, this guy's a great conversation. Lynn Giancola. He's Jacksonville-based, but deals a lot with investment properties. These could be single-family homes. These could be duplexes or more, but representing a lot of people who put their money together to invest in that growing market that we have as real estate. Great conversation coming up. But first of all, let's drop in on a recent seminar featuring Robert Palmer addressing social media and making it work for you.
All right, the next thing up is nurturing relationships. Right? Another thing a lot of people do not do with Facebook and Twitter is when you have a new prospect, when you have a new client, I want you to instantly send them a friend request, instantly start following them on Twitter, send them a tweet, hey, RP Robert Palmer, great talking to you today. Look forward to helping you buy a home. Right? We all get excited when something shows up in our Twitter feed. I know I feel that way. Do you guys? Right? When somebody mentions you on Twitter, and most of our cell phones are set up to where it gives us an alert when that happens, right? And so if I get an alert that's like, wow, this real estate agent I just talked about buying a house took the time to follow me on Twitter and tweeted me that they're excited about helping me find a new home, that's now set them apart from someone else I may talk to, right? If you send them a friend request on Facebook, wow, oh, wow, this is that real estate agent I just talked to. I was driving around town. I called off of a listing sign, right? I called off a listing sign. I'll probably call 20 other agents off listing signs, but this particular one sent me a friend request. And this one took the time to find me on Twitter and tweeted me about they hope they can help me get that home. This is how you can begin to stand out to people. And now as soon as you've got that connection online, now you're gonna start showing up in their newsfeed, right? Whenever you accept a newer friend, that friend's gonna show up in your feed a little more because Facebook is assuming, well, if they just took the time to get connected, they're probably interested in each other, right? Somebody I connected with 5 years ago when I've never been to their page and I've never read a single one of their posts, they're not showing up in my newsfeed anymore. Facebook does a very good job, Twitter does a very good job of selecting what they're gonna put in your feed. But when you first take the time and accept somebody, well, this says, wow, Robert must be connected enough to this person right now today that he accepted their friend request. Let's make sure we show some of their stuff to him. So when you first friend request this potential client and they accept you, you're now going to show up in their newsfeed a little more than normal. Now, if they don't click on your stuff and they don't like your stuff and they ignore you, you will eventually fizzle out. But when's the most important part of trying to nurture that new relationship, right? When's the most important part of trying to help and cause yourself to stand out above all the other agents they may be talking to? And a lot of agents, most agents don't do this. You know, after the transaction, they'll friend request them, right? After they've got a buyer's agreement signed with them, after the home is listed, because they feel like, oh, I don't have enough relationship with this person yet to friend request them. Why? Send it to them. If they don't like you, they won't accept it, right? You can't make them accept your friend request. Nobody's gonna say, oh, this real estate agent sent me a friend request. I'm never talking to them again. You know, they may not accept it if they don't want you in their newsfeed, but they're not gonna hate you for it either. And what I found is most people do accept it. And what do we do as soon as we accept a new friend? We start reading about them on their newsfeed, right? So this is where it's so important. What are they going to see about you, right? We're all pretty much bored most of the day. It's why people spend so much time playing Candy Crush. I mean, this is an amazing phenomenon to me. You know, whether I'm sitting in a doctor's office, the DMV, whatever, you can see people's, you know they're playing because of the movements of their finger, the right, left, the up, down. We have a lot of free time on our hands. And so when that Facebook friend request pops up on our phone, and you say, oh, who is this? Who's this requesting me? We get curious. You click on it. Oh, this is that real estate agent that I talked to this afternoon. Accept, and let me start looking at them. Oh, wow, here's all these happy people on their Facebook talking about what a great job they do. You've now gotten a bunch of impressions, right? They're looking at your face. They're reading about you. They're seeing your name, all because you took a little bit of time to look them up on social media, right? And we're all really good at finding people. I'm pretty sure most of you out there are gonna have one conversation with a client and figure out how to find them if they're on Facebook. Right, you're probably gonna get their email address to send them some listing information. That's a great way to find them. Looking up their name, where they live, we're all really good at this, at finding people on Facebook. So take advantage of it with potential clients, not just existing clients, and begin to nurture those relationships. So we're gonna stay connected with our existing contacts. That's kind of a given. This is something I think people do well, but do they let people know what they do for a living enough? Maybe, maybe not. A lot of agents take this attitude, well, I've got my personal Facebook page, and then I've got my real estate agent, you know, fan business page. And so I'm gonna keep all the personal over here and I'm gonna keep all the real estate over here. And this is one of the biggest mistakes you can make. Because like the example agent I was talking about earlier, his wife's friends had no idea he was a real estate agent. You may have a situation where your friends don't even know you're a real estate agent, because every time you list a house, you're putting it over here on your fan page, your Facebook page, that no one's seeing. And then all you're talking about on your personal feed is your kids and your beach trip and what you had for dinner and where you're going and who you're hanging out with, which is great. We want you to keep it personal, but you've got to intermingle the two, right? Your personal sphere has to know that you sell real estate, because we want them to rely on and call you when the time comes to buy or sell, right? And then on the flip side too, we're going to talk about this later, you've got to have some personality on the business side. You've got to show people a glimpse of your personal life from the business side if you really want to get great results. And then the other big thing is engage and interact, right? We talked about this. We love when somebody tweets at us. We love when somebody comments on a post, likes a post, right? If you're the first person to like a post and that little alert comes up, say, Robert Palmer liked your post. My name was just in front of that person, right? Commenting on posts. We all read the comments. I mean, who here posts something and doesn't read the comments when people comment on their own post? It doesn't happen. So if I just put out a post, the chance of you reading it is slim. But if I comment on one of your posts, I'm pretty much guaranteed you're going to read it, right? And if I put a nice post and I put a nice comment and you know, a supportive comment, again, you may be like, well, who is this Robert guy that's commenting on me? And you click on, oh, that's the real estate agent I talked to, right? Oh, that's the mortgage guy. Oh, that's so-and-so that I may do business with, right? So showing up in the comments, interacting, liking, be generous with that stuff, right? Everybody wants more comments. I mean, we all have this kind of little thing in the back of our head where it's a competition, right? You put out a piece of content. Well, how many likes can I get? How many comments can I get? How many shares can I get? So if you're one of the people who is sharing, liking, and commenting on their stuff, they're going to notice you. It's a great way to get your name and your little picture in front of a potential client or an existing contact over and over and over again. And this one's foolproof. This one, there is no chance of Facebook's feed, algorithm, edge rank kicking you to the bottom. If you comment, they're getting the alert and they're going to see your name and they're going to see your face. So we've got to utilize this. We've got to utilize this to stay connected with our existing contacts. We've got to utilize it to connect with potential clients, right? If you do a networking event, all of those people, you should go home and friend request them. Follow them on Twitter. You know, Facebook has a great way to organize these contacts. So everybody you met at a particular open house, you can put into a group. Go home, friend request them. You probably have them register. You have their information. Friend request them. Put them into a group for the 123 First Street, open house, and keep them up to date. If you have a price reduction on that house, send it out to that group. When that house goes under contract, send it out to that group. This is a connection you have with a group of people, and you have to capitalize on it. And while we're seeing less effectiveness from email, right? Just sticking people in email drip campaigns does not have the same effect it used to, because this is where the bulk of our communication is going, right? I mean, how many of you at this point even really send emails to friends? I mean, if I want to reach out to a friend, I'm probably using Facebook Messenger, or I'm sending them a message through Facebook because I know they're in there, and I know I'm not going to get caught by the spam filter, and I'm not going to get missed. Because email has really become more about where we get our bills, right? Email is about where we get sold crap. You know, email has really moved out of how we interact with friends and family. You know, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram. You know, we're not emailing pictures to people. You don't email pictures to your friends. You don't send invites to a party via email anymore. Everything important in our lives is moving out of email and into social media. Now, I'm not gonna say email's dead. Email will never die. Email has its place. But these social aspects of email are quickly leaving and moving onto the social platforms, and you've got to recognize that and take advantage of that. So we're going to make sure we nurture our relationships. The next big thing is get personal. All right, you've got to show the personal side of your business. So I've got some agents who all they do on Facebook is they do personal stuff and they never mention their real estate agent. Then I have other agents who you wouldn't even know they were a human being, because every single post they put up is just listed this house, just went to this conference. There is nothing on there about what's going on in their personal life. Let me tell you, the posts on Facebook that get the most action have your kids involved, right? Have some kind of personal accomplishment involved. I had a real estate agent who happened to have his daughter with him one day when they went to a closing. Mom got stuck at work, had his daughter, took him to the closing, had a good enough relationship with the client that they didn't mind. And so while his daughter is sitting there, she drew the couple a house and like a congratulations card. And so they took a picture with the daughter, the real estate agent, and the clients with her holding up this picture. And he made some funny comment about how free artwork now with every home you buy. This thing went crazy. I mean, everybody loved it. It likes the shares, the comments. You know, that mix of personal and business is what we want to see. Again, we're not in Facebook. We're not making connections and friends and looking at our newsfeed to try to be sold stuff, but that's the kind of stuff we like. And so now all of a sudden, everybody's liking and sharing this thing, and people are saying, what's this picture of this little girl holding a house? Right? That's way more interesting than the picture of a listing. And now they're realizing, well, wow, this guy's a real estate agent. Wow, he did a great job. Wow, his daughter was at the closing. The clients loved her, loved him. They sold the house. Everything was great. And the amount of likes and clicks and views he got because she was in it were magnified probably by 10 or 20 times what they would have been otherwise. So you've got to bring a personal side. You've got to get your family involved, right? We talked about having your spouse, having anyone in your family who's a social influencer, right? If you've got a brother, a sister, a brother-in-law, anybody, a nephew, right? Cousin, husband, wife, who has a lot of friends and a lot of pull on Facebook or in Twitter, you need to utilize that. You need them when you have that open house planned to share it, to like it, to put it out there to the feed. You've got to put that personal side of you and remember that you are the star of your social media account, right? No one is looking in your Facebook feed for anything but about you. They're not looking to you for the breaking news, right, or industry trends. If somebody wants to know whether home prices are going up and down, unfortunately, they're probably going to go to Zillow or they're going to go to CNN Money. They're not going to think to go to your social feed, you know, your news feed. People go to your feed to see about you. You're the star. They want to learn about you. What are you up to? And this is where a good mix of personal and business and keeping the business side personal, right? Like I'm a big fan. If you're going to put a listing on Facebook, don't just put a picture of the listing. Put a picture of yourself taking pictures of the listing, right? You're there with the camera. Have somebody else take a picture of you out taking pictures of a listing today, right? Or, hey, I'm in front of this new house putting a sign in the yard, right? You need to be there. You are the star.
Hey, it's time to welcome our featured guest. This is Lynn Giancola. He's from the Jacksonville area, Ponte Vedra to be exact, which is a very, very nicely planned community, just South Jacksonville, beautiful area right along the Atlantic Ocean right there. So you live in a little bit of paradise. Let's talk about that first.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Rob. Appreciate that. Yeah, we live in Ponte Vedra Beach in a community called The Plantation at Ponte Vedra. It's a great golf course community. I'm actually one of the preferred builders in the community. So I live and work in the same spot, at least in this section, which has its ups and downs, of course, but it's been fantastic for the last few years. My wife and two daughters love the community, and Ponte Vedra is just a gorgeous place. If you haven't been here, take a ride up. It's gorgeous.
It's very busy there, but I tell you what, it's known worldwide for its golf and the TPC. I imagine that the serenity that is Ponte Vedra and the South Beach is kind of gives way for about 10 days every year at the TPC.
Yeah, absolutely. Now they moved the tournament to May in the last few years, so it's usually Mother's Day weekend on or about, and it is just a crazy time for a few days. We actually get out of here those few days from like Thursday to Sunday. We go on vacation every year because my kids are off from school. They shut down the school because there's so much traffic for that, you know, during the actual tournament days, but we'll go to a practice round when it's not so busy. You know, Monday through Wednesday and have a good time. And then we'll skip town for the weekend and just get away and let everyone enjoy the area.
You know, we have so much in the Sunshine State of people that come to visit here that end up buying here. So I would imagine that the TPC and some of the associated things that are going on up there and further inland, the world headquarters of golf, I imagine that a lot of people who come here for a sporting event, maybe even a Jags game, we'll end up seeing the area over a few days and go, this could be the next place that we live. Is that part of your lead generation?
It is part of my lead generation and is also my personal experience of how I came down here.
Mm-hmm.
When I came down here, you know, 10, 11 years ago, we actually stayed in World Golf Village and rented a place, played some golf, and looked at all the surrounding areas and communities and decided to make this our future home. So that's what we did, and that's exactly what you said is what people do. They come down here. We have a property management company called Cinnamon Beach Vacations, which is in Palm Coast and St. Augustine, and people will come to special events like TPC, like you said, or come to see the World Golf Hall of Fame in St. Augustine, or just St. Augustine, the town, is a huge attraction. And they'll come on vacation, and one of the things that was unique about how we lead generated was we were the only company in Florida that had a realty company, a vacation rental company, and a custom home building company under one roof. And it was a lead generation, a revolving door, if you will. So they would come, stay on vacation, meet with one of our realtors, possibly buy some land, maybe build with my building company, and then put that property right back into the vacation rental program to make some income. So it was just a revolving door of leads that was awfully unique, and we've capitalized on that.
How strong is the sales pitch or the sales effort if somebody does come down to rent a vacation villa, let's say? Are they exposed? Do they know? Or is there a planned hour or 2 hours that they attend a seminar? Or is this just happens?
No, we do not pressure any of our guests. We try to make it a family atmosphere. We do have marketing material in each of our units, but it's not pushed upon them. But we do have several facilities in the communities where we rent that are common areas, and they will be able to talk with other owners that are in our program or some of our employees that are, you know, milling about the area. And we just strike up a conversation, and we prefer to do it the old-fashioned way, create a relationship, have that trust built immediately upon initial conversation, and then they'll ask us to see further information, you know, see properties and further information on properties, and it'll lead to what I described earlier.
I live in the Villages, Florida, and I think what you're doing is really cool because one of the things that happens in the Villages is people will snowbird, you'll call them, will come down, and they'll spend from just after Christmas all the way through Easter and then go back up north, but then the home sits idle. But I can see in your situation that I invest with you, I buy a place, maybe I choose to only be there in the golf season, maybe I choose to spend my summers there, but then I have an income for the rest of the year thanks to your management.
Absolutely, and we have that situation as well quite often. We have several people that come from up north that own, that don't live in the area. They'll come stay those snowbird months from January to March. And we actually tell them to try and leave before Easter, whenever Easter falls, because those are huge rental weeks down here. Like, we have those 2 weeks coming up, March 19th through April 2nd this year, because Easter falls early, and we call it a super Easter because it's basically all the spring breaks are the same 2 weeks, and we have been sold out with a waiting list for quite some time for, you know, we manage about 60 properties there.
About 60 properties. I want to take a little break from real estate here, and I want to go back to your days on Wall Street. You got to tell me what you were doing.
Yeah, well, I like to describe, you know, my team. You know, you've seen The Wolf of Wall Street, the movie. Well, I guess I was the cub of Wall Street, if that makes sense. I did that on a much smaller scale. I started right out of college, got on the trading desk on Wall Street in the securities lending business, which securities lending, for people who don't know, is a desk that facilitates short sales for hedge funds. So we dealt with over 350 hedge funds. By the time I moved up the ranks, I had a $16 billion trading book and about a 24-person trading desk. We dealt with all the big boys in the country. It was unbelievably phenomenal. I had a lot of perks. We had a huge, you know, entertainment expense account. That was part of the deal to woo all these high clients, and we cleared their short sales on our trading desk, and it was an amazing time in my life. I loved it.
Was that pre-crash or post-crash?
That was from 1992 to 2004.
Oh, so you were in good years.
Absolutely. We had a great time, and I actually left in 2004 and came down to Florida and reinvented myself. But yeah, Wall Street was definitely a fun time, lucrative time, and you know, it did well for me and my family for sure.
I want to get back to vacation homes for a minute. Our family has a vacation home, which has turned into a permanent home in the Ozarks. Now, tell me about this. During really good times, vacation homes are pretty good. You know, people will buy a boat. They'll say, hey, why don't we get a place at the lake? Or why don't we get a place down in Florida or whatever? So it's a great market. It's a luxury market. Yes, it's a step-up market and a lifestyle market. But when times get tough, have you found that one of the first things they do is try to liquidate that second home?
I've seen it both ways. During, like, you know, 08, 09, 10, you know, when the market went down there, a lot of people did have to liquidate, but not in mass. So there were some people that did, and to be honest, that's when investors such as myself or other investors, you know, can take advantage of the situation to help someone out. They need to get out of the property. You could buy it at a discount and then hold on to it if you have that luxury. We did not see like a mass turnover or a lot of foreclosures in the area, if that's what you're asking. It wasn't too bad. The values, of course, did go down, and they've kind of stayed a little lower in the Northeast Florida area, so there's still some good buys out there. I've invested myself, so, you know, millions of dollars in real estate to hold it because I know it has a positive cash flow, and I know that the value is there.
It's a very interesting proposition for people. I guess that state of population, that could afford investment properties were probably, if they were smart money people, they weren't as hurt as maybe the middle income. Am I right there?
Yeah, I think what I always tell people, especially when they're going to invest, I said, if this is your life savings, don't do it. It needs to be play money. And because if you're going to put everything into it, everything has risk. And if you're putting it into one property, anything can happen. You know, if 9/11 part two happens, you know, you're going to get smashed with the economy, right? So don't throw everything into one property. If you have some play money, it's an excellent opportunity to make some positive cash flow and passive income. Mm-hmm. And that's what we try to preach. But I wouldn't put all your eggs in one basket into anything, to be honest.
All right, lead generation-wise, we talked earlier in the conversation. By the way, folks, we're talking to Lynn Giancola from the Jacksonville area, dealing mainly in investment and vacation properties. So when the people come down to TPC or World Golf Village, they're naturally going to be looking in your area, and you guys are the premier property there. But now let me back up a little bit. Where do you go beyond that in your marketing to draw people down?
Well, a lot of our marketing comes from, like I said, our realty company that I recently actually sold, but we're still involved with them very closely. Realty company has thousands and thousands of people in the database that we keep in touch with through direct marketing, through online marketing, through social media, and they all pop up every couple of years, you know, to see what's going on in the market, and we'll always pick off a few there. As far as our vacation rental company, obviously that database is thousands of guests that we've had over the years. And they all come, and a lot of them repeat. You know, the repeat percentage is very high to visit again for vacation. And when they come, they start to really fall in love with the area and eventually want to make an investment. And that's where, you know, we try to get them to buy from us. And then my custom home building company is a huge company, so we try to, you know, get them to build with us too. And the leads generate themselves, Rob. To be honest, we don't have to do much marketing. I do not spend a lot of money on marketing. It's all relationships that we've had over the three companies.
So in other words, I want to go back to the people who aren't vacation rentals that are outside the area. Are they mainly you getting their name through mainly they're just contacting you through some kind of a website or something saying, I'm interested in beachfront property or vacation property in Florida?
Yep, that is correct. They either find us, CBV Homes is our building company. They find us online. I'll get many inquiries just straight from the website. They'll see us in the Parade of Homes is a big event down here, so they'll see that we've won the Grand Award like four or five times. Nice. They see our reputation online, and then they'll just call, or they'll be a friend of a friend. So, you know, relationships drive everything, right? So whether if it's a friend of a guest that stayed here, hey, I stayed in Cinnamon Beach, go talk to Len. You know, he built most of the homes in the community. We stayed in one of them. It was beautiful. Go check it out. I know you've mentioned to me that you've wanted to invest in Florida or stay there. Go give him a call and see what he has to say. And that'll just start it. I literally do no marketing besides local community papers.
That is a nice, nice way to do it. Can you give us all your contact information? And please be slow so people can write it all down. And I think you're going to get some lead generation right out of this show.
Oh, I appreciate that, Rob. Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you a couple of our different businesses. The vacation rental website is Cinnamon, like the spice, Beach Vacations, with an S, cinnamonbeachvacations.com. They could just go right on there, and there's phone numbers and contact forms right there. My direct email is either CBV Homes, that's Charlie Baby Victor, Homes, at AOL.com. That goes directly to me. Or our new company is called Link Masters, which is a client referral service. That's linkmasters2015@gmail.com. And my toll-free number that goes direct to me is 877-228-6300. Just call, leave a message, send me a text, whatever's best for you, and I look forward to speaking with anyone.
What is the average stay in a vacation rental? Are we talking about some that just come for weekends, or are we talking about weeks, months? What is it?
During the peak season, it's weekly, so we try to do Saturday to Saturdays during the peak times, whether it's an event week or the summer or holiday week. Otherwise, we're negotiable. We'll do anything, you know, a three-night stay, a long weekend. We'll do monthly stays. Some owners prefer monthly stays because it's less wear and tear. So we let our owners, you know, direct how they want it handled, and we follow suit.
How about packages? If somebody comes to stay at any one of your places, are they tied in with any golf packages anywhere?
Absolutely. There's so many, you know, as a resident of Florida, you probably know there's so many beautiful golf courses in Northeast Florida, and we have reciprocal agreements with many of them, so we can set them up when they come down on a whole vacation and set it up like a concierge to set up their whole vacation for them. We love doing that.
That is really great. Transportation from you to the golf courses?
No, there are a couple on-site in Cinnamon Beach. There's the ocean course at Hammock Beach, and that's right on-site. They can just, you know, drive over. It'll take them 1 minute. Otherwise, it's by car.
Okay. And what is the average cost, or is there an average cost? Because I've noticed on your site, you've got some beautiful architecture, really nice, innovative designs.
Oh, thank you very much. And are we talking about custom building or just vacation rentals?
The vacation rentals.
Yep, vacation rentals. The condos, which are oceanfront or lakefront, but the whole community of Cinnamon Beach is right on the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
The condos will run around $2,000 to $2,300 on peak weeks, a little less for Lakeview as opposed to oceanfront. And the homes will range anywhere from $3,000 a week to $10,000 a week, depending on the location and proximity to the ocean and amenities in the home.
That is great. I want to thank you so much, Lynn Giancona, for being with us. How about that website and your phone number one more time, my friend?
Sure. CinnamonBeachVacations.com. That's our vacation rental site. And my direct phone number is 877-228-6300.
All right. I'm hoping that people that are listening to this will make their way up there. And I'm hoping that the real estate community that listens a lot to this and, of course, reads the site at Real Prospector will make it a point to make a trip up there, get involved with you, because what good lead generation they could have from just, you know, coming up there, meeting you, looking at all the beautiful vacation rentals, and maybe they can have some of their permanent residents in their part of Florida make that one of their vacation destinations.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Rob. Thank you very much. And everyone, welcome. Give us a call. We'll give you as much information as you'd like.
Thank you very much. That's Lynn Giancona from the Jacksonville area, Cinnamon Beach. Doesn't that sound great? It sounds delicious to me. All right, we're going to move on with the show right here on Real Prospector Radio.